So here we are in the book of John, and as I slow down maybe and think about this story, is everyone tells the story of Jesus and the cross, and Mark is, as you know, if you read the book of Mark, he was younger, and Peter was telling him what had happened, so he's kind of writing it down. He doesn't have a lot of details, and Matthew was trying to tell it from the Jewish angle, and then we have Luke over there. He's explaining, not to you, but he's talking to his friend named Theophilus. He goes, here's what happened that night. Jesus said this and that, but John was there, and John's about 90 years old. And I like to think he's there. He's living in the city of Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. And there he is. He's got a group of disciples around him. We know he had a disciple named, I think, Polycarp. And then his protege was a guy named Irenaeus. So in the year 200, you have a guy who was taught by a guy who knew Jesus. Isn't that crazy? The year 200 and something. Like 205, Irenaeus is writing down from ones removed. You know, like Zachary Taylor, one of the presidents, still has grandchildren alive? He was around 1830. He lived to be 90, and then his kids had kids at 90. Now they're 90. It just got, time don't stop, does it? You know, time don't stop at all. Hey, Ken, my son got a ring. What do you think of that? What do you think of that, Sue? He picked out a ring. Oh, it's going to cost us. So we have this story of John. He's 90 years old, and he slows this down. He gives us all the details about that night. And so it's the night before he was to be arrested. But before that, if we're in John chapter 10, we see the story of a man named Lazarus. He's a good friend of Jesus, and his sisters are Mary and Martha, and he dies. And everyone's saying, Jesus, why didn't you save him? Why didn't you save him? He says, oh, because I want the glory of God will be revealed. Whether we live or we die, his glory will be revealed. But then he comes to the town of Bethany, and he raises the one he loves. And then lots of Jews are there and Pharisees and mourners. And it's only 2 miles from Jerusalem. And the Passover's coming up next week. And everyone's in town and they hear the story. You can't hide this one, can you? Somebody was dead for 4 days and they came back. The story is big. It's the story, right? So Lazarus is alive. And everyone says, well, he did this. And Jesus is getting a bigger and bigger following. And the leaders don't like it. And something has to be done. Something has to be done. John chapter 11. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to Bethany to visit Mary, and they had seen what Jesus had done, and they believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees, and they told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? They said. Here is a man performing many signs. And if we let it go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come, and they'll take away our temple, and they'll destroy our nation. And then one of them, a man named Caiaphas, he was the high priest that year. He spoke up and he said, you know nothing at all. You do not realize it is better for you that one man dies for the people than the whole nation to perish. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. And not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and to make them one. So from on that day, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved around publicly among the people of Judea. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the wilderness, to a village called Ephraim, and he stayed there with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus. And as they stood in the temple courts, they asked one another, what do you think? Isn't he going to come? But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders to anyone to find out where Jesus was, and they should report it to them so that they can arrest him. And you know where he is, right? He's waiting. He's waiting for what day? Palm Sunday, isn't it? He's going to come in on that Sunday. He's going to come in the front door. He doesn't come in the side door. He doesn't come in the other gate. He comes in the eastern gate, the one from the Mount of Olives, in the front door where the temple is. He's not hiding. He's coming. Everyone knows he is there. turning over the tables, and then the week goes on. So here we are in John 14. The Passover dinner has been set. The disciples are gathered in the upper room, and Jesus is talking to them. And I really need to slow myself down to tell the story, because Jesus knows he's going to die. I think we sometimes glance over this, and we don't realize that he's dealing with these kids. They're 20 years old and less, aren't they, these disciples? We talked about that last week. They don't pay the temple tax, do they? That means they're under 20. He's got these young kids, and he's going to tell them how to save the world, to be disciples. So they're kind of not believing. They're kind of not getting it. We know the feeling. We still don't get it. And so Jesus says, and he's talking to them quietly, and he's talking to them in a lovely way, and he says, if you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another one, another advocate, to help you and to be with you forever. That's the Spirit of truth, he says. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or in me. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus says. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, that you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them too, and I will show myself to them. Then Judas, but John says, not Judas Iscariot, not the bad one. But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us, but not everyone? Jesus says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and they will come to me and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. The words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I was still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded. Come, let us leave now. We take this slow, don't we? Are you ready? He says. I got to leave. And you know how it's going to be done. It's going to be done in the crucifixion. I'm going to be arrested. One of you will betray me. There will be mock trials. I will be stripped and beaten. I'll be walk through the town where everyone sees me and spits on me and mocks on me, and I'll go to the cross. But I'm coming back. How do you believe that? I'm coming back. All right, what's this got to do with Mother's Day, right? You ready for it? How are we going to bring it around full circle? So he says, but the Advocate's coming. Sometimes you look around, you say, where's God? The world says that. Where is he? We don't see him. Where's Jesus? He's not walking in this door. How do we know? What do we have left? And Jesus says, I'm going to do this. The Father's going to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. You see, the Greek person sees the word, and can I get nerdy? I got to get nerdy because this is the fun part. The word is parakletos, and I don't speak Greek, and I don't speak Hebrew, but I wish I did. And what is a parakletos? John Wycliffe, you remember John Wycliffe from the 1300s? He translated the Bible? No? Well, anyway, then they said they burned him at the stake, but that's not true. He had a stroke. 48 years later, they're still mad at John John Wycliffe, that they dig him up, then they burn him and throw him in the river. That's angry, isn't it? So John Wycliffe, he said, what it means is it's one who comes beside us. See where we're going yet? You got it yet? Yeah, I'm going to connect this dot to mothers, maybe. John Wycliffe calls him the comforter. And sometimes we look at that word, and it seems like it's just someone that comes up next when we're sad, right? But if you look at the Latin, fortis means strength and brave. Someone who is brave and with strength comes up next to us. All right, moving on, right? The book of Genesis tells us God created Adam. From the dirt, he formed a man, and he blew into him the breath of life, and he comes to life. And he goes out there, and he's taking care of the Garden of Eden, isn't he? And there he's, but God says, where am I? The Lord said, it's not good for a man to be alone. We know this, don't we, men? It's not good. I will make a helper suitable for him. What do you think, ladies? A helper? Is that what you are? Now we're mad again, aren't we? We got mad at Ephesians, and we got mad at Paul, right? Oh, and now I'm relegated to a helper. Is that all I am? Now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the wild animals too. You know he did that too. He made them out of the ground. And the man named them. So the man gave all the names to the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. The goat, the cow, the sheep, those weren't suitable helpers. Something better, right? What do you think that is? You know what it is. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and I will call her woman. And that's why a man leaves his father and a mother, and he's united to his wife, and they become one, right? Ain't marriage grand? Isn't it great? So we say helper, and we don't like this word, and just a rib. And that's the wrong translation, right? We got to get nerdy again. We got to go to our Hebrew Bible. And what's the word really mean? Rib, it means, it's like the whole entire half of someone. Where did he create woman out of? Half of the man, not just a little rib, but half of his body. Huh? Then the two become one. Ain't it grand? So, a helper, an advocate, one who comes up next to him. You think being a helper is secondary? It's not like the apprentice I had when I was on the union job. And I get them stupid 18-year-old kids, and the one guy said, I'm a nice guy, you know that. He came up to me after the week, and he said, thanks for not ever yelling at me. Like everyone else. Like, oh, why would I yell at you? You're a good kid. Apprentices bring all the tools so you don't have to. So you walk around with a light load, and they go get donuts at 10 o'clock, you know? But you got to pay for them. You can't make the kid pay for it. And they get to keep the change, so you can't give them a whole lot, right? You know the rules. So it's just a helper. But what does Samuel call? When the Philistines are getting ready to attack, and they pray to God, and they have their burnt offerings, and they pray to God, and a big thunder comes down that scares the Philistines, and the Israelites run out, and they win the battle. Samuel says there in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, that this God is my helper. And what's that word in Hebrew? Ebenezer. You've heard that word before, right? What's it mean? God is my helper. Stone of help, Eben, Ezer. But what is the woman called? She's called an Ezer too. She's called the helper, but she's called the Ezer Kenego, a helper suitable corresponding to him. And that denotes an equal partnership, ladies, who fills a void or provides a necessary strength. Huh? How we doing? You see? Submissive, obedient. We become one, a suitable partner. Marriage is great, isn't it? Ain't it, Mads? I know, I had to walk my daughter down the aisle. Isn't that awful? Anyone like that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, she's my baby. Off they go. It was all right walking my 48, I mean, marrying off my 48-year-old yesterday. About time. Get married. Come on, you know. But I had to make sure that he knew who he was marrying. My good friend, all right? This is a big deal. You got to, anybody marry my, you got to, you know, no trouble for them, right? Because I'll be there. I'll bring my friends, Keith, right? Any trouble with our daughters? We'll bring the boys. God is my help. The Lord is on my side as the helper, says the psalmist. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Oh, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help. You are my deliverer. Deliverer, do not delay. You see the story? This wedding's been on my heart for a while. And they say, Sean, we don't want the Bible in there. Is that okay? And so, for their sake, you say okay. But you pray that they know what a marriage is, of where, how this comes together, that they become one, not just two, that Jesus is the focus of their life. Jesus isn't here. He's going to send an advocate. We need someone to come next to us. This Holy Spirit thing, it sounds, we sing it in songs, and what is it? And you know, you'll know it when he comes. You'll know it when the Spirit comes on your heart. You'll feel it, and it'll change things, and you'll want more of it. And sometimes it goes, and sometimes it's here. But all he says, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask, and the Spirit will be there, the advocate. And we know that when we get to heaven, that Jesus is our advocate. Because it tells us that story in Nehemiah, Zechariah chapter 3. When we get to heaven, there will be, you know who's in heaven, don't you? I've told you many times. You know, Satan's there. Satan, the accuser, is in heaven. And he's there to accuse you. And there is the Lord God to judge you. And what do you have on the right side? You got an advocate. The advocate that paid the price for your sins. The advocate that took it all upon himself. The one that sets you free. The one that puts on what? He puts on a new robe, new clean clothes. And he is the groom, and you are the bride. And he invites you to the party because the trial's over. Did I tell you I go to trial on Monday? This time, not my fault. All right? Usually it's my fault. Yeah, I can do bad things all by myself, but not this time. I happened to be in town and there was a fight and I was watching it, and then they broke it up, and then the cops came and I was a witness. You're supposed to run and say you don't know nothing, but you think I can outrun a cop? She's like, I'll catch you, fatty. You know, like, you know. So I'm not getting very far. So I just give up and all right. See you Monday. I'm like, dang. So we go to trial. There's an advocate. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the way you made us. You made us man and you made us woman. And you brought us together to become one. And we thank you for these mothers that give birth time after time into the next generation. We thank you for the mothers that love and care and nurture us. We thank you for the fathers that they're in there next to them, loving, providing, protecting, bringing the word of God to the home, that these are homes where God is present, where children know the name of Jesus Christ, and when they grow, they will share with their children in this unbroken bond, this ring that keeps on, that will never be unbroken. We thank you for being who you are. You are the God. You are the Father. You have a Son who loves us. He is our Savior. And you leave the Holy Spirit to be with us each and every day until that day Jesus comes back and takes us home to the throne room where we are pronounced not guilty. We are blameless. We are pure as driven snow. And we feast together in the banquet halls of heaven because of your Son. Because of your Son. Amen.